It was weeks ago that I knew exactly how I wanted to end this In the Waiting series. If you've been with us, you know that we've been talking about how we don't wait well. That life brings so many waiting periods, but we're not really great at it. And the problem with that is we're wasting opportunities. Because in the waiting are some of the best and biggest moments that God can move in our lives to shape us who we need to be. We've been looking at the Israelites, we've been looking at Elijah, we've been looking at David, and I was ready to give us the last one for this week. It was going to be Acts 1 and 2, and I was excited. But it was on Thursday, as I'm sitting in my office, wrestling through those last thoughts that I would have in preparation for today. And I think in my office, God began to move. God began to speak to me, and it was in those moments I decided, nope, I closed my computer. I took the copy that I'd already printed out, and I swiveled my chair, and I threw it in the trash. Because I felt God was saying in that moment, this is not the message that I want for my church that I've asked you to lead, Scott. So this is what I'm going to ask you today. Maybe during your devotional times this week, read through Acts 1 and 2. With the mindset of in the waiting, you'll see that those early followers really spent some time waiting. But that's not for today. What I feel deep inside of me is God saying, Scott, you need to have a conversation with your family. Scott, you need to have a conversation with the people you love deeply and that I love deeply. And so today, if you're not part of our church family, first I want to say, I would love for you to be part of our church family. But if you're not, stay watching, but I want to talk to you. My first Wesleyan, about to be One Hope family, I want to talk to you. Maybe you've had these conversations in your home before where you've had to sit down and you say, hey, listen, we've got to get on the same page. We've got to have a family conversation. That's what this is today. I'm not sure if you bought by the newspaper or you watch the news or maybe you are busy online this week, but maybe you saw that I had took part in a moment in our city that I've been told is a pretty monumental experience on Wednesday of this week, where I stood on the steps of the Tuscaloosa County Courthouse and expressed some deep thoughts that I have. Maybe you saw that, but if not, you can always check it online, but this is how it happened. Monday morning around 11:30, I got in my car and began to drive over to Bethel Baptist Church in the west end of town. The reason I was going there was because there was a group of us pastors who were meeting together to pray and talk about how do we respond as spiritual leaders in this town where turmoil and chaos and energies are high, and not to mention around our country and around the world. How are we going to respond? So we got together and we began to pray. We began to listen and we began to discuss. And out of that time was a statement that maybe you've seen online. Maybe you can Google it. You can look. We'll put it up this week so you can see it on our Facebook page. But there's a statement that was going to be put out on behalf of any pastor and minister in town who would put their name to it. It was speaking to not only the death of George Floyd, but in general, the injustice in our world. So I went home that day and felt good that I was allowed to be a part of that. But it was Tuesday morning when I woke up, and on my phone, people were reaching out to me saying, Scott, you've been chosen to speak on behalf of those pastors. that this group of pastors decided you would be one of the ones that would present and articulate what was behind this statement, what was going on in the hearts of those leaders. Can I tell you, in that moment, I was completely intimidated. In that moment, I may have responded, I'm not sure I'm up to this task. Have you ever felt that way before? Have you ever felt that way in this moment? You don't know what to say and you're not sure what to do. You don't feel up to the task and you're like, I'm not sure I'm the person for this. I had that moment. But we met that morning as the small group of people who were going to be on stage and in front of that mic that day, and we began to talk about it. And because the people who asked me to do it, I was not going to say no. But I have to be honest, it was still inside of me, this like, I don't know if I have it, if I know what I'll do. But I said yes. And so for the next day, I just began to pray and ask God, will you give me the words to say that I'm supposed to say in this moment? Because there are people who need me to speak into this, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I don't even know if I have my voice in this arena yet. That day continued, and went to bed that night, woke up the next morning. And can I tell you, something changed in me from when I first was asked until that moment. All of a sudden, I woke up the next day and I had an excitement to me. I had this feeling of opportunity that was in front of me. And what had overtaken me from intimidation was a feeling of honor. Feeling honored that I was going to be able to speak into this moment in our country, moment in our city that needed a voice of hope. And so there I was. If you've seen it, on Wednesday I began to speak. And as I was up there, there was this overwhelming, yeah, the moment was, I'm not going to lie, it was heavy. There was still sort of like, I don't want to mess up. But this deep honor of, wow, I get to be a part of this, overtook me. Now, you may wonder, why did that moment feel so much like an honor? Well, let me tell you, as a pastor and as a follower of Jesus, there are no better moments than the moments when people come and speak to me and they are broken. You've got marriages falling apart. There's a sickness. There's something with kids. There's anger and there's grief and people are just tired and they don't know what to do next. Hopelessness overtakes them. There's no moment I feel more like the hands and feet of Jesus is when people are hurting and I get to step into their lives. Maybe you've been on the other side of this over the 15 years of being here. Maybe I've been with you in the hospital. I've been with you in your home. I've been with you and cried with you and prayed over you and loved you. Can I tell you, those are the moments. It's not these moments. It's those moments that I feel most like a pastor and feel most like a follower of Jesus. And anytime I'm in those moments, my prayer is always the same. God, will you allow my presence to be a presence of healing to whoever I'm with, because I come with the hope that only comes from Jesus Christ. God, will you allow my presence to be a healing ointment to these people? That is always my prayer. My hope is that when I spend time with people who are hurting, that this message of Jesus being our one hope ripple effects into their lives in a deep way. This is when I feel like I'm as close to Jesus and acting on his behalf. And so there I was, feeling this moment on Wednesday. And do you know why I felt that moment? Because I've had conversations this week that I've never had before. I have conversations with my African-American friends, my friends of color, that I've never jumped into their lives as deep as I have this week. Can I tell you that our brothers and sisters of Christ are hurting? They are grieving. They are tired. They are angry. There is hopelessness that has begun to take over again. There is a devaluing that has been felt. It happened last night as I was at a graduation party, but I'm talking to my friend Anthony. And we're talking about life. And his wife says to me, she says, "Scout, we have had conversations this week. Conversations we've never had before. And I didn't even understand, being his wife, where he stood." And I said, "Anthony, talk to me. How are you feeling, bud?" And he began to tell me stories. These stories that have come to life again in him this week because of the death of Breonna Taylor and because of George Floyd and because of Ahmaud Arbery. Just these things have brought up in him these old experiences that have been breaking in him. These stories of people who are hurting are not at a distance. They're right beside me. And I'm listening to him. And as he speaks, his words are piercing my heart. They're piercing a deep place in me. Because that feeling of how do I be the presence of Jesus to a person who's hurting is welling up because I see it in him. And then I think of you. I think of you as you go to bed last night. I think about our church. I think about 15 years being with you. And the stories that come up in my head of how you have built a reputation with me that when someone is hurting, you will step in. I hear stories of how someone's been in the hospital and groups of you have gone and visited. And I'm like, that's so incredible. I had no idea. When people were going through financial issues and people have stepped up to say, "We'll be with you as you are struggling and you are afraid of the future," you've stepped in. I hear stories of when people are told they have cancer or some other sickness and people step into their lives and they sit and they talk and they grieve and they put their arm around and they hug. I hear these stories. This is who you are as a church. Over and over, I know these stories because I hear them. They're a database of memories in me because I've seen you act like Jesus. And I think about today. And I think about those people that are loved, that I love, and how they are hurting today in this season. And I ask myself, how is my church going to respond? I ask myself, are we going to look at this hurting and this being tired and hopelessness? Are we going to look at it in the same way we have looked at our other brothers and sisters? Are we going to view this pain? And are we going to want to step in or not? Are we going to see this as an opportunity where our presence can be one of healing as we are bringing the message of the hope of Jesus to people? Is that how my church is going to respond? Because again, it's real. The hurt is real. It's not just Anthony last night. It's been story after story. It's real. And I wonder, are we going to be distracted by all the chaos and mess and the Facebook feeds and the news and the angles that come at us? Are we going to be distracted? Are we going to let the mess of some of the bad that comes out through this distract us from all the good that we can do? How are we going to respond? Are we going to be the church that I've experienced, or are we going to be a different kind of church? Are we going to step into a space that maybe we've never intentionally stepped into before? Are we going to recognize on a deeper level the depth of racism? Are we going to jump into the depth of sin that's been there? Are we going to jump into the lives of people who have been carrying a weight for years, wondering when people were going to see them? Are people ever going to see me? Are people ever going to see my pain and my hurt and my fear and my grief? Are they ever going to see me? And the question is, are we? Because today, this conversation is not a political one. It's not a left and right conversation. This conversation is a kingdom and non-kingdom conversation. This conversation is, are we going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, or are we not? Are we going to miss an opportunity? The message I brought was going to bring today, I told you it's from Acts 1 and 2. And in that portion of scripture, what's happening is Jesus is ending his time with his disciples on earth. They've followed him. They've seen miracles happen. They've seen his death. They've seen his resurrection. They've seen what he can do. But he says to them, I've got to go. I've got to go, but I'm sending you something that you need, powerful, the Holy Spirit. Because he says to them, I need to send this to you because you are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, Samaria, and all through the nations. You will be my witnesses. Oh my goodness, as I read the words of Jesus, you be my witnesses. It was such a powerful, resonating sentence to me. Am I being the witness of Christ in how I live life? To be a witness is to testify to who the person is and what they've done, right? Those people have seen all that Jesus had done. They'd seen the person that he was. They'd seen his passion. They'd seen his heart. They'd seen his character. They'd seen how he had stepped into people's lives who were hurting, who were struggling, who had been oppressed. Listen, he was a Jewish man that was coming into a Roman-controlled world, and he was there to minister to the people who had their knee underneath the Romans. And he was meeting them there in their hurt and their grief and their wondering, are we ever going to be seen? Are we ever going to be treated equal? Are we ever going to not be the other? This is the world that Jesus walked into. This is the world that Jesus came to. And his followers saw when he cared about the ones who were the least in the culture, the ones that were needing and desperate for his attention. They saw it. And now he's leaving and he says, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to testify to the person I was and what I did. But don't leave Jerusalem. Go into Jerusalem and wait for the Spirit. Why did they need to wait for the Spirit? Because the mission was too big for them. They needed the Holy Spirit because they needed to be empowered. They needed to be sustained. They needed to be guided. They needed to be transformed into the people that he could use to do this powerful movement that would change the world that we are living in now as Christians. They needed the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish all of it. It wasn't just that there were going to be his witnesses. There were going to be his witnesses with his empowering. And so they went to Jerusalem, and it was 10 days later. They're in the upper room, and they're praying, and they're waiting on God to move, to follow through with his promise. And it says the Holy Spirit entered the room, and they saw tongues like fire, and you could see that things were not the same. You could see things were not the same. It was what they had been waiting for. And then you go to chapter 2, and what's the first thing that happens? People go, "What is wrong with you? Are you drunk?" And Peter goes, "No." And he begins to be a witness for Christ into a world that needed to hear about him. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he began to speak truth. He began to speak life. He began to speak light into the darkness of that world. And it says thousands that day became Christians. Their lives were transformed because he was able to speak into through the power of the Holy Spirit. As I read Acts 1 and 2 in light of what is going on right now, is we have an opportunity, we have a choice. Will we be the witnesses of Christ in this world? Will we testify to who he is and what he came to do? Will we look at this as an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus every day to a world who needs to hear about the hope of Jesus who will change everything? That he came to change a system. He came to change people's lives. He came to speak into, and that lives would be changed forever. Are we going to be those people who say, "Here's an opportunity"? And may we lean into the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish this. My church family, I want to cut through the noise today that you are hearing and say to you, there is nothing more Christ-like than you can do right now. Nothing more Christ-like that you can do right now to be a presence of healing in the lives of our African-American friends who need you right now to be Jesus in their lives. How does that happen? How do we walk through this? Just like me, before I spoke on Wednesday, "God, how do I do this? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? You have to speak into me." I began to look back, and a message that shouldn't be hard, or it shouldn't be hard for you to remember. I say three words around here all the time: see, feel, and act. As we're becoming more like Jesus, we will see and feel and act more like him. Can I tell you right now what I'm praying for you, what I'm praying for me, is that I have eyes that see people and this situation the way you want me to see it, God. I'm not going to see it through the lens of my friend. I'm not going to see the lens through my Facebook feed. I'm not going to see it through the lens of the newspaper. I'm going to see it through the cameras that are rolling on TV. I'm going to see this as you see this, Jesus. Will you let me see the need that is out there? Because when I see it the way you see it, then I'm going to feel a compassion that's on a deeper level than I've ever felt. Some of us, we haven't felt the depth. I'm not saying no compassion. I'm saying the depth of compassion, the Jesus compassion, the way we should, because we're not seeing it with the eyes and the lens of Jesus. But when we do, that compassion will grow. That compassion will go deep. My prayer is that when we feel that compassion, we will act in love. We will act from a deep place of love. And sometimes that love is to voice, to stand in and proclaim. Sometimes that love is to sit and hug. Sometimes that love is to say, tell me what's going on. I want to hear your stories. Sometimes that at some point that acting in love is going to say, I don't know what to do, but I'm here for you. That acting in love can look a bunch of ways. But when we see the truth of what's going on right now, that there is a need from us, that we will feel that deep compassion and act in love. You don't have to have the answers. You have to have the heart of compassion. You don't have to have all the answers. You have to have the want to see what you can do. You don't have to have the answers. You have to have the heart to say, I'll do whatever you ask me, O God. But I see this moment is a moment when I can step in and be a witness for Christ to a group of people who need to see hope. Because whenever they see Christ, they'll always see hope. You know, one of the stories that I love so much, I bring it up from time to time, it shaped my life, as the 99 and the one. You know that story, right? I love it because I've told you, I think it's a climactic story to give us the heart of Jesus. That he loves the 99 deeply. But when he sees they're safe, he runs to the one, and he'll do whatever it takes. He'll do whatever it takes because he sees that one is in danger. He sees that the one is in harm's way. He sees the one that the world can be against them. He sees that maybe they're just feeling tired and can't go anymore. And Jesus runs and he grabs that sheep and throws it over his shoulder and brings it back. What I want for you is to picture Jesus right now. What I want for you to say, Jesus, I want to be like you right now. That I'm not going to let the world bring anger in me because of what is broadcast on news. I'm not going to let the world divide me from people that were created just like me and have been under it for years. And I'm not going to let this opportunity go by with me not saying I will treat people the way I want to be treated. I will look for opportunities to treat my neighbor as myself. I'll look for opportunities to step in the shoes of other people so I can see life the way they see it. And then what happens is I can look at them and say, I'm with you. I stand with you. I stand for you. I sit with you. I'm being in the presence because I don't know what else to do, but I want to be a picture of Jesus to you. The conversation I feel like I'm supposed to have with you today is to remind you that we have to decide which side are we going to be on. Are we going to be on the side of building God's kingdom on earth and will his will be done, or will we go a different path? And can I tell you, I see Christians all the time choose one or the other. May a title of Christian not fool you. When we are a Christian, this means we are a follower of Jesus and we go the path of him. Listen, there's going to be moments the rest of your life. Can I tell you, I'm going to be looking for moments the rest of my life. This will not be the last time that I step in where people are hurting. I believe in you that you're going to step into the lives of people every time they're hurting. I know that in a year from now, in 2 years from now, in 10 years from now, you're going to encounter people that are hurting and you are going to step in because I believe in you. And can I tell you, the reason I'll say this today is because I believe that you will respond in this moment to be the witnesses for Christ, because you know how he'd respond. You know his heart. You can, through your life, you will testify to the message of Jesus. I know you. I know you. And so this week, will you make a commitment between you and God that you will begin to see, have eyes open, looking for ways that you can't just step back and watch, but the eyes move you to act. That you'll begin, I want to encourage you, find a person of color and say, can we talk? And then you just say, tell me why you're hurting. Tell me something I don't know. How can I help? How can I be like Jesus in your life today? When the Holy Spirit filled Peter, he stepped into this arena and he spoke, and lives were changed. This is what the power of the Holy Spirit does. It allows us to be a witness, to testify about Jesus through our lives. And today we've got an opportunity. It may be intimidating. You may not think you have the words or the actions. This is the beautiful thing. God said, when you have the Holy Spirit, I will lead you, I will direct you, I'll give you everything you need, but you have to care about the things I care about. And in this season, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to proclaim, we have an opportunity to stand, we have an opportunity to sit, we have an opportunity to pray with. We have an opportunity to listen. We have an opportunity to talk. We have an opportunity to spend time with. And maybe your presence can bring some healing, because you take the hope of Jesus with you. My church family, you know I love you. We cannot miss this chance to change the world. And how you do that is just to connect the heart, connect with the heart of Jesus. We can do it. And may the world look on us and say, that's what I want. And through our lives, people will come, will be healed. And maybe people come to know the power and saving love of Jesus Christ and the hope he brings the world. God, there are people who are hurting today, and I pray for them. Can I pray against the enemy's push on me to not take as serious the pain and the grief of my brothers and sisters? God, that today, you know my African-American friends, they can't fix this on their own. They need people like me and people like who you have in our church to say, I want to be part of bringing life where there hasn't been life, healing where there hasn't been healing, forgiveness where there hasn't been forgiveness, hope where there hasn't been hope. God, bring your presence where maybe it's been pushed out. God, I pray we won't miss this opportunity to fight for the one who needs us. And tomorrow, I hope we'll fight for the one that needs us. In a year from now, I hope we fight for the one who needs us. In 5 years, God, may the DNA of this church be that we will always fight for the one that needs us. In 10 years, in 20 years, when we're past, may there be such a foundation here that we will always fight for the one that needs us. We won't make excuses, and we won't listen to the lies. Help us to be your church in a way that's never been experienced in this town ever before. But God, will you instill in us your Holy Spirit so you can guide us and direct us? And may we respond to when the Spirit speaks to us. May we move and act in love, however you're calling us to do it. And it's your name we pray. Amen.